Since the start of his screen career back in 1967, Michael York has starred in more films than some people even see in a lifetime. His prolific work on stage, in television, animation, audiobooks, and even video games is driven by his passion for acting and his enthusiasm for bringing the written word to life. This weekend, he'll be appearing in Tucson in Listian Loves. It's the world premiere of a biographical portrait of Franz Liszt, featuring music from virtuoso pianist Andre Watts. I spoke to Michael from his home in Los Angeles, and he gave me a chance to tell him how his roles in classic films like Logan's Run, The Island of Dr. Moreau, and The Three and the Four Musketeers had earned him a place on the top shelf of cool.
Well, how very sweet of you. They were cool for me, too, those roles. I was so lucky to get such a plethora of great parts, at a fairly young age.
What appeals to you about doing the role of Franz Liszt that you'll be performing here in Tucson?
Well, I've been doing this kind of thing, performing with either great artists or great orchestras for some time now. And it's sort of become not just an extra string to the bow, but, a very significant string in my artistic bow. And it's something I love doing. I love music, for one thing. But there's something about this particular performance with Andre Watts, who's one of our great, great pianists. And what an honor to be in his company. It's also Franz Liszt's anniversary, so we're doing an appropriate celebration. And being able to tell his story in some detail, I think will give shine a spotlight on just how extraordinary he was. Because he tends not to have fallen by the wayside, but the spotlight has been turned away somewhat. And you forget the sheer body of his work and what he did, what he achieved in his lifetime. And it was a very long lifetime. The later work is positively avant-garde, and I know that Andre is playing some of that, too. This is a brand new piece, and I think it pays tribute to an extraordinary musical, legend. My God, he was bigger than a rock star when he was a young pianist, going around giving concerts.
Does that influence your portrayal in some way? Do you get to sort of relish that almost Mick Jagger-like quality of the Franz Liszt?
Well, I think it's there. I think he sort of, he relives it. These years of, it was called Glanzeit, these glory years where women went crazy. And that's all described. He was bigger than big. He was huge, but he was also a very great and serious musician, composing these remarkable works, and lots of them. Some people said too many, but I think now that, his work is being reevaluated, I think every artist goes in and out of favor. I mean, you're hot and then you're not. It seems to be a condition of the job.
Well, let's describe a little bit more about how Listian Loves will be staged. It's written by Harry Clark, and he wrote it for his friend Andre Watts in tribute to him because of Liszt's incredibly demanding piano passages. But how exactly is your acting going to be incorporated into what the audience sees?
Well, I'm not quite sure. I mean, we meet on Friday, and we put it all together. I think it's going to be a complete collaboration. It's a wonderful script, for one thing, and obviously the music is going to be fantastic from Andre. I think Harry's done a remarkable job. Much of what I do is instinctive. In movies, for example, there's rarely time to rehearse. I mean, it's a luxury if you get that. So you come to it with some clear ideas of what you would like to do. You can't just wait for inspiration to happen. You have to do your homework. And yes, there's a director, but he's hopefully sorting through all the ideas that are given him. And that's when it's most fun. A director who just cracks the whip and you have to jump through his hoop, that is so tedious and boring and so unrewarding. Yes, you get something, but you don't get something extraordinary. I remember working with Franco Zeffirelli. He would ask the wardrobe mistress what she thought, and he he loved, you know, ideas like that. And working with Bob Fosse on, say, Cabaret was a great experience because he wanted involvement and collaboration. And he would listen to the actors, he would listen to your ideas, and you would do it, you know, as you suggested and as he wanted. And then he made us all go and see the dailies, the rushes, where you saw, you know, the previous day's work. And he would say, there, you see, your idea doesn't work because of so-and-so and so-and-so. Or he would say, you know what, your idea really works. We'll take it. And, of course, it makes you feel enormously creative and collaborative and so on. And it was, you couldn't wait to get to work the next day.
Well, you're one of the few men on Earth who has kissed Homer Simpson.
Yes, and lived to tell the tale. Yes. For voice work, I think, you know, it's wonderful. It's what we do. It's, you keep the machinery turned over. You again, it's, you have to be inventive and collaborative. And I come from a British tradition, you know, where an actor acted in all the media. You know, you weren't just a film actor or a TV actor or a radio actor. You did them all, and you were better off for it. You know, because the one interanimated the other. And I brought that with me when I came to the States in the early, it was the late 60s and early 70s, and I couldn't believe what I saw. It was like a terrible party that wasn't working. There were radio actors in one corner. No, I don't think they were invited, but film actors in one corner not talking to the TV actors. There was no crossover. Of course, there is now. And we're better off for it. People would say to me, well, how can you, a Shakespearean actor, stoop to Austin Powers? And I'd say, hey, listen, Shakespeare would have loved Austin Powers. He had an even bawdier imagination. So I think it's there's a terrible danger of taking it. You take it seriously, but not too seriously.
Other projects you've been involved in reflect your Christianity. Let's talk for a moment about these times when you have let spirituality guide your art.
Yes, this is actually a recent thing that came out of the recording. You know, I was approached to be the narrator of an audio Bible, The Word of Promise, it was called. And it took years to do, in 2 years, 500 hours in the studio. But, you know, I felt, you know, I didn't know my Bible. I didn't know it as well as, say, someone in Shakespeare's time when all the references, you know, were immediately accessible. And I wanted to read it from start to finish, which I did. And there was a great sense of, when we reached the end, that we'd been through this extraordinary, illuminating adventure. Then later, I was doing other recordings, and most recently, in fact, I've brought out an album of prayers with a wonderful musician I've collaborated with before, Michael Hoppe. And in fact, the CD has just come out. It's been available as a download from Christian Audio, but now that I wanted a CD, I'm a bit old-fashioned. I said, well, how do you give a download as a Christmas present or as a birthday present? No, I want something you can hold and hand over. Peter Ustinov once said to me, we're united by our doubts and divided by our convictions. And again, I think there's a great sense of crossover in spirituality, that, you know, there's so much that links us in common. And it's just the extremist elements that set us apart. And we have to try and avoid that, because basically we're speaking the same spiritual language, but just this chorus of people who, sing the wrong notes and, ruin the harmony.
The stage production Lystian Loves, starring Michael York as Franz Liszt, with piano by Andre Watts, makes its world premiere this Sunday afternoon at 3 p.m. at the Berger Performing Arts Center, which is part of the Arizona State Schools for the Deaf and Blind, located at 1200 West Speedway. We have a link for information on the Arizona Spotlight page at azpublicmedia.org.